Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's the one who has redeemed you through His substitutionary death on your behalf. And in this truth, you can rejoice. But you can also rejoice in the truth that your Savior is also your King and your Master. And one day, you'll participate in His righteous reign over the earth. Stephen takes a closer look at all of this today in Psalm 96 through 99. Stephen called this lesson, "The Lord Reigns."
In today's Wisdom Journey, we're going to study four psalms. These psalms are sometimes referred to as Yahweh Malach psalms. Yahweh Malach means the Lord reigns. You might want to learn that phrase and repeat it several times as you go through your day. Yahweh Malach, Yahweh Malach, the Lord reigns, or the Lord is in control. Now, as far as the psalmist is concerned, there's a lot to think about here, and he's going to give us a lot to sing about, in fact, as we go through our day. Psalm 96 opens with that kind of invitation here in verse 1. "O sing to the Lord a new song. Tell of His salvation from day to day." The word "tell" here in "tell of His salvation" in verse 2 refers to actually telling or delivering good news. This word was often used in a military context when a runner was dispatched to bring news of a great victory. In fact, to this day, we have an Olympic race called the marathon. The origin of the marathon goes back some 500 years before the birth of Christ. It goes back to a battle between Greece and Persia. Legend has it that a Greek messenger named Pheidippides ran 26 miles from Marathon to Athens, and he ran that to deliver the news that Greece had won the battle. After making his announcement in Athens, this exhausted soldier collapsed, and legend has it he died. Today, the Olympic marathon race of right around 26 miles honors the legend of that heroic messenger. Did you know that that happens to be the great privilege today for you and for me? We're delivering the good news. It's the news of the Lord's salvation. In fact, the Greek translation of this psalm translates this Hebrew word for "tell" with the Greek word euangelizo. That gives us our word evangelize. Isn't that what evangelism is? To this day, we've got on our running shoes, so to speak. We are messengers delivering to our world the gospel, the good news of the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death. Now, there's more for a messenger to do, by the way. Here in verse 3, we're told, "Declare His glory among the nations." Now, the word here for "declare" means to recount or to number, sort of like keeping a scorecard. And if you're keeping score, beloved, it might not look at times like God's side is winning. But let me tell you, take a closer look at that scorecard, because the final number has already been printed there at the bottom. The final score is already determined. Here it is. Jesus Christ wins. You're on the winning team. Now with that, Psalm 97 follows nicely here because it calls us to celebrate our victorious King. The opening words in verse 1 are, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad." The coastlands here refer to far away islands. Isaiah used the same term 17 different times to describe the remote places on earth. So what's the psalmist trying to convey for us here? Even in the remotest places on the planet, guess what? They are under the rule and reign of our King. Now, here in verse 2, the King's throne room is described. Clouds and thick darkness are all around Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. The Hebrew text here indicates that these dark clouds are actually descending. In other words, the king, the dark clouds surrounding him, this courtroom, this throne room, it's all descending. It's about to execute justice on a sinful world. So you have the imagery of dark clouds here in verse 2. You have the imagery of fire in verse 3. You have lightning and earthquakes here in verse 4. All of this speaks to the terrible, rather frightening wrath of God, which is descending and will one day judge the human race. Nothing's going to stop the Lord from holding court and executing justice. Puny little arrogant man, mankind that shakes his fist at God, thinks he can get away with his sinful defiance, that's going to be no match at all for the Lord's power. In fact, verse 9 tells us that God is most high over all the earth. That means God will have the final word when he sits on his throne executing judgment. Now, in the face of coming judgment, the only hope that you and I have today is God's promise here in verse 10, that he preserves the lives of his saints. Well, maybe you think that isn't going to help me any because I'm not a saint. Well, remember, the word saint doesn't mean you've got to be perfect in order to avoid the judgment of God. Saint is used throughout Scripture, not for, you know, great people who died, you know, had some church council decide they lived a good enough life to get them out of purgatory a little earlier than the rest of us. Well, that isn't in the Bible. There's not a verse in the Bible that supports that kind of man-made religion. The word saint in the Bible actually refers to someone who's been saved. In fact, they're still alive. Over and over again in the Bible, you'll find the word used for someone who's living, someone who belongs to God through faith in the Messiah King, Jesus Christ himself. And if that's you, well, you're a saint. Now, as we journey here through Psalm 98, we're again encouraged by the role of our magnificent King. Three times here in verses 1 to 3, you have the word salvation appearing in the text. The Lord himself has worked out his plan of salvation. His right hand has worked out your salvation. You don't need to add your good deeds to what God has already accomplished on your behalf. That's why the Bible refers to salvation as a free gift. I think of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. You don't pay for it. In fact, you never could, which is why Jesus had to come and die for your sins. He alone could pay the price for your salvation. Well, since he paid for it, he can now offer it to you as a free gift. I've had people in my presence say to me, "Stephen, I can't believe what the Bible has just told me, that it's a free gift." Indeed it is. You know, when Christmas time rolls around, your children don't pay for their Christmas gifts, even though they probably should. But they don't, do they? And that's because, well, you already paid for them. All they have to do is open them. Well, salvation is like a Christmas gift. Your Savior, the Lord Jesus, paid for it. He gives it to you, but you still have to open it. The question is, have you opened it? Have you received his free gift of forgiveness and salvation? Have you opened it for yourself? You know, you can do that right where you are. You can do that right now. You could simply pray something like this: "Lord Jesus, thank you for paying the price for my salvation in your suffering and death. I receive from you now by faith the free gift of salvation. I'm going to claim you right now as my Savior, and I'm going to follow you today as my Lord and King." Well, if you prayed that prayer just now, I want you to find a way to let us know. Give us a call here. Send us a message by email, because we want to respond by sending you some material to help you take the next steps in your walk with Jesus Christ. Well, now here in Psalm 99, we have the promise that our King is coming back to reign one day in his glorious kingdom on earth. This psalm gives us a rather prophetic look, a picture of this coming day. Verse 1 opens this way: "The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble, or that is, be in awe of him. Verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion, that's Jerusalem. He is exalted over all the peoples. What this tells us is that Jesus is going to reign one day in his coming kingdom, and his capital city will be Jerusalem, just as he promised through his prophets in the Old Testament. And we're going to talk more about that kingdom along our wisdom journey. Well, what kind of king will he be? We're told here twice in this psalm that he's going to be holy. That's built into the lyrics here of this inspired psalm. More than likely, you have one part of the choir singing the verses here, while another section of the choir responds with this phrase, "Holy is he," verse 3, "Holy is he," verse 5, "Holy is the Lord our God," verse 9. So what are we singing? We're singing that the Lord is victorious in battle. We're singing that he is our redeeming Savior who gives us the gift, free gift of salvation. We're singing that he is our holy God. That's a lot to think about. And that's certainly a lot to sing about as you walk with him today. And remember, throughout this day, Yahweh Malak, Yahweh Malak, the Lord is on his throne. The Lord reigns. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
As Stephen said, you've been given a lot to think about and even sing about as you walk with God today. Whatever happens and whatever you face, the Lord reigns. In addition to teaching the Bible on this wisdom journey, Stephen also has a magazine that he publishes. If you haven't seen his magazine, we want to send some issues to you. Give us a call today at 866-48-BIBLE or use the form at wisdomonline.org to sign up. Join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.